Well, at this time, the children are dismissed for primary praise. As they head out, if you want to be sure to take the sign-in pads that are located at the end of your pews. So we have a record of your attendance here with us, but also it's a good way to communicate with the church office. Many times in a church service, you see the passing of an offering plate. And while here at Cornerstone, we think that giving of tithes and offerings is extremely important. We have a box in the back for the Cornerstone family. If you're visiting with us, we actually have a gift for you there in the pew rack in front of you. Is the red English Standard Version that we use here at Cornerstone. We invite you to take that with you as you go so you can have a copy of God's Word. I've often wondered if I'll end up giving that same explanation in Virginia simply out of habit. Well, today has finally come. You can call me naive, but I didn't think this day ever would. I assumed I would probably spend my entire pastoral career here at Cornerstone. But that would be almost 60 years, and that's pretty unheard of for any pastor. So definitely a little naive on my part, but God certainly has other plans. Almost exactly 12 years ago, I walked into Horning Middle School, where Cornerstone was meeting at the time. I was a college sophomore, single. I had just turned 20 years old. I was driving a donated minivan, and I had very little idea what I was doing. Now I leave here as an ordained pastor to take my own pulpit at Westminster Presbyterian Church in Roanoke, Virginia. I've been married for 8.5 years to the woman that I was hoping 12 years ago I would have the opportunity to marry. We have 3 beautiful daughters, although I still drive a minivan and oftentimes still feel like I have very little idea what I'm doing. And now it comes time to say goodbye. And so I echo the words of one of the smartest Americans ever, Charlie Brown's dog Snoopy. Why can't we all just get together in the world, the people that we really like, and then just stay together? Well, I guess that wouldn't work. Someone would leave. Someone always leaves. And then we would have to say goodbye. I hate goodbyes. I do hate goodbyes. They are, though, a necessary part of life. And so what can I say that will be memorable and yet powerful? That will be poignant and yet also meaningful? That will stick in your minds like Edward Murrow's good night and good luck or Yoda's may the force be with you? I suppose I could go a bit ironic, like Hannibal Lecter's I'd love to stay and chat, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Or I could be dramatic, like Douglas MacArthur, I shall return. But really, I found the words, I think, that sum up perfectly how Michelle and I leave as we depart in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And so if you want to open with me in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, where we read somewhat of a goodbye from the Apostle Paul. As he's not physically departing from the Thessalonians, he was not there as he was writing this, but he's sending them a letter knowing that he's probably not going to see them very much. This was a group of people that Paul absolutely loved. He probably spent more time in Ephesus, but he deeply cared for the people in Thessalonica. In fact, he actually said at one time that he loved them so much that he was pleased not just to share the gospel with them, but to share his very life with them. And that's how Michelle and I feel. We haven't just worked here for 12 years. We haven't just ministered for 12 years. But really, we've lived here for 12 years. Cornerstone has been our life. It's been our friends, our family. It's been the people that we've fellowshipped with, had fun with, cried with. This has really been our life. And so we echo these words that Paul writes here in 2 Thessalonians. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's with a heavy heart that we open your word this morning as we prepare to say goodbye to this that we have called family for so long. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that as we look at the words of Paul, that you would open our hearts and minds to understand what you inspired Paul to say in his goodbye. But we pray, Heavenly Father, that these not just be words that we think about, that we just have nice feelings for the next 25 or so minutes, but that we take these to heart, that this is something that we depart from each other knowing and remembering and taking confidence in for the rest of this lifetime and for the lifetime to come. For it's your name we pray. Amen. In this final goodbye, Paul really has a request that he's making, but he also indicates his confidence for the Thessalonians. And then he prays on their behalf. And while it might be called cheating to use somebody else's goodbye in order to say goodbye, this really sums up how Michelle and I feel. And so in many ways, this passage is our request to the Cornerstone community. But this is also our confidence, and this is also our prayer for Cornerstone in the years to come. So let's begin by looking first at that request. Paul says in verse 1, "Brothers, pray for us." English is fairly limited in its ability to translate Greek words. And so the word here is not just pray. It's really the word pray and keep on praying. Be continually praying. Some translations will render this be praying. It's not just a one-time request. Paul is not just saying, pray for me as I leave. No, he's asking, keep on praying. Pray for me constantly, continually. Paul is well aware of the fact that even though he is what we would call, you know, the missionary par excellence, he understands that it's only through the power of God that Paul's ministry can be accomplished. Paul knows that he himself is powerless to do anything for God. It's only by God's power. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." You know, regardless of what skill we may think the Apostle Paul possessed, whatever talents he may have had, whatever abilities were part of his makeup, none of that could accomplish anything without God's power. And so Paul says, pray. Pray for me. You know, if Paul could not do anything without the Word of God, then Michelle and I desperately need your prayers, because we are nothing like the Apostle Paul. But like Paul, we recognize our reliance upon him. We need your prayers. We crave your prayers. We want you to pray for us. As often as you think of us, pray for us in our ministry in Virginia. And Paul gets even more specific. It's not just a call to prayer. He actually gives two prayer requests to the Thessalonians, and they're the two prayer requests that I would present to you. The first is that the Word of God would speed ahead. That word speed is the Greek word trek. We've simply brought it over into English and use it as our word, trek. Paul is saying, pray that the Word of God may trek, that it'll run, that it'll speed ahead, that it'll go where it needs to go, be proclaimed to people it needs to be proclaimed to, that it will do what only the Word of God can do, convicting hearts and minds. Paul has great reason to believe in the power of the Word of God. When Paul showed up in Thessalonica, there were no believers. They were worshiping false gods. But Paul says in Thessalonians 1 that the message of the gospel came to the Thessalonians not just in words, but in power. The power of the Holy Spirit convicting their hearts, showing them their faults, showing them their sin, revealing God to them, and then bringing them to the point that they turned from the worship of idols to serve the only true God. Paul has seen the power of the Word of God in the lives of the Thessalonians. And now he's asking the Thessalonians to pray for him and to pray that the Word of God would have that same impact wherever Paul goes, that other people would also be brought to faith in Christ, as has happened among you, he says in verse 1. And I too would ask that you would pray for that, that the Word of God would make a great impact in my congregation in Virginia. You know, over the last 12 years as I've taught and preached here, I have had the opportunity to see such incredible impact of the Word of God. Both as I have ministered to you and as I've watched you minister to one another, the impact of the Word of God has been incredible. I've seen people brought to faith in Christ. I've seen people brought to the point of repentance. I've seen lives truly transformed, people delivered from sins and addictions. I have seen such amazing things. And it's all been because of God's Word. Cornerstone has been a place for the whole time that I've been here, the whole time of its existence, where the Word of God has been faithfully proclaimed. It has been faithfully taught. If anybody comes to Cornerstone, they will be taught the Word of God. They will hear it presented in truth and in power. And I pray that that continues here at Cornerstone. But I pray that you pray for me that that's true of my congregation in Virginia as well. That just as Cornerstone has had an impact on the lives of people through the Word of God, that the church in Virginia, that Westminster, would also be a place where the Word of God is faithfully taught. That I would be faithful to preach the Word of God, that the people there would be faithful to teach it, and that the Word of God would indeed trek ahead, speed ahead, that the Word of God would go before us and prepare the hearts and minds of those people, that people would be convicted of their sin, that they would be brought to faith in Jesus Christ. I ask you to pray that the Word of God has the same impact there that it has here. But it's Paul's second request that really fills me with a great deal of trepidation. Because Paul says, pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. You know, Paul knew about this firsthand. The first time he went to Thessalonica, he was chased out of town. He went to the next town, and if that wasn't enough, the people from Thessalonica followed him to the next town and chased him out of town there. Paul is well aware of opposition. He faced it his whole life. And honestly, the thought of opposition, it scares me a little bit. I don't like being opposed. I've been very blessed here at Cornerstone for 12 years. I've been able to hide behind Chris. When people have opposed me and there's been a problem, I've been able just to simply say, talk to Chris. Well, unless something has changed that I don't know about, Chris is not going with me to Virginia. I'm going to be on my own in a sense. I'm going to be the pastor, the one that everybody looks to. My head is in the chopping block, so to speak. And I know that there are people who would like nothing more than to destroy a pastor. I've seen that take place in my own family. My dad is a pastor, my grandfather is a pastor, and both of them have faced opposition from people whose goal it has been to destroy the pastor. And I know that not every church is as perfect as Cornerstone. I know that there may be opposition from within the church, by people within that church that are interested in their own power, their own pride, than the proclamation of the gospel. And so I pray that you would pray for me, that those people would not succeed. But it's not just even within the church. The church in Virginia is across the street from Planned Parenthood. Not just a Planned Parenthood office, it's an actual medical clinic. And there are abortions that take place weekly at that Planned Parenthood facility. We are really in occupied territory, in a sense. We are going to be trying to creatively minister to the people across the street from us, trying to build relationships with them. And I know there's not going to be people who don't necessarily like that. Whether from Planned Parenthood or anybody in the town of Roanoke that's not going to like the ministry of the church. Just a month ago, somebody broke into the church building there and attempted to set it on fire. There's been a rash of break-ins at churches in the Roanoke area of people doing horrible things to sanctuaries and worship spaces. There is opposition in Roanoke. I'm aware of that, going into that. And so please pray for me. Pray that God would protect us. Pray that God would enable us to minister even to those people who would oppose us. Pray for protection for me and my family as we take the gospel forward. The people who opposed Paul eventually killed him. I pray that that's not the case for me. But even as Paul was writing this, I think he already had a sense that that's probably how his life would end. And so he was praying that God would protect him until he could accomplish the ministry that God had called him to. And so I ask that you would pray the same for me and my family, that God would protect us until we complete the work that God has called us to, that God would enable us to be used by him in Roanoke, that he would protect us from those both without outside the church, but also within the church, that the gospel could be proclaimed. But Paul's goodbye and our goodbye was not just a prayer request. Paul also gives his indication of his confidence. He tells the Thessalonians of his confidence in verses 3 and 4. And while he finishes in verse 4 saying, you are doing and will do the things that we command, Paul's confidence does not lie in the Thessalonians themselves. I'm sure they were a great group of people. I'm sure he loved them dearly, but he knew they were sinners. And he knew, left to themselves, they would continue in their idolatry, whether of actual idols or of the other things that would fill their lives in place of God. Paul was well aware of their fallenness. And so his confidence doesn't lie in them. His confidence lies in God. He says at the beginning of verse 3, the Lord is faithful. And then also in verse 4, he says, we have confidence in the Lord about you. His confidence doesn't lie in the Thessalonians, and it also doesn't lie in himself. I'm sure that many pastors have had that sort of Messiah complex. I can't leave. If I leave, everything will fall apart. And I'm sure that if anybody could have felt that way, it would have been Paul. Having seen the lives of the Thessalonians transformed, I'm sure there was a degree to which Paul thought, well, what's going to happen when I'm gone? What happens when I'm no longer here to write letters? What happens when I'm no longer here to visit them? What's going to happen? Are they going to continue to be faithful? But Paul's confidence doesn't lie in himself. It doesn't lie in the Thessalonians. It lies only in God. That the God who saved the Thessalonians in the first place will continue to cause them to grow, will continue to cause them to become more and more transformed in holiness, more and more to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Paul is not afraid for them. He's not afraid of them falling away because he's confident that God is faithful and God is the one at work in them. And he's not afraid of the attacks of Satan against the Thessalonians either. He says, the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Even as Paul is asking for prayers for his own protection from opposition, he is confident that God will preserve the Thessalonians, that he will protect them and uphold them, that he will continue to be with them. Paul is confident in God's faithfulness. Not in the faithfulness of the Thessalonians, not in his own faithfulness. He's confident in God's faithfulness. I am fully confident that God will preserve Cornerstone as well. And it's not just because Chris is still here. I can leave in full confidence knowing that the God who is faithful and has been faithful for so many years while I've been here will continue to be faithful. Michelle and I were talking this week, even as we heard about Gary and Tim, we were hearing about all these medical things, and Michelle said, do you have this feeling like, well, now we can't go. Now we have to stay because they need us. They need us here. We can't go. We got to stay. And I said, yeah, I feel that. But if we were to wait until there was a time that we said, okay, everything's fine, now we can go, we would never leave. There's always a feeling of, oh, I'm needed. There's always a feeling of, oh, I'm crucial to this. I can't leave. But the reality is that none of it has been about us at any point in this. It's always been the power of God working through us. And that same God is still faithful. He is still at work at Cornerstone and will continue to be at work at Cornerstone. He will remain faithful. The benediction that I've enjoyed using for most of my time here at Cornerstone was written to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. I know that God is at work in you here. I know that God is at work transforming you. He is at work sanctifying you. He is at work within the body of Cornerstone Church, even as he is at work within his church universal. The same God who is faithfully at work here is the same God who will be faithfully at work in Virginia. It is the same God. And so I call you, never forget your ongoing battle with sin. Never forget that despite the opposition of the world around you, the God of the universe loves you. And he is faithful to you and will continue to be so even as he works among you. And so it's with that confidence in mind that Paul concludes his farewell with a prayer in verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians, Michelle and mine for Cornerstone, is that you would grow in the knowledge of the gospel. That you would know the love of God that passes all understanding. The love of God that caused the God of the universe to send his Son, his one and only perfect Son, to earth to die on the cross for us, his enemies. That love that caused the God of the universe to send his Son to die is the same love that caused him to adopt us into his family, that caused him to sanctify us and continue to be at work in us through his Spirit, that continues to cause him to be with us, to uphold us. Never forget the love of God. Never forget the gospel. Never forget that the God of the universe loves you, that Christ is steadfast and continues to intercede for us, that he is always the perfect sacrifice on our behalf. It's not because of anything that we've done or can do or will do. It is only because of Christ. Christ is steadfast. Christ is faithful. And because of that, God continues to love us and continue to work in us. You see, this is really not goodbye. This is not really the end of the story. Because of the steadfastness of Christ, we know we will see each other again, either in this lifetime or for eternity, we will be with one another. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know of the love of God. You don't know the fact that God sent his Son to die for sinners, for those who put their faith in him. We want to see you again. We want to spend eternity with you. And so please do not leave this morning without talking to me or one of the other elders about how you can put your faith in that Jesus who sacrificed himself for you. If you are here this morning and you do know the love of Jesus Christ, then Michelle and I pray that you would not forget it. Do not forget the love of God. Do not forget the gospel. Remember that you are powerless to do anything. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is only the power of God through his word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that accomplishes anything in you or through you or among you. And so focus on the gospel. Never forget the gospel. When our lives seem to fall apart, when we're struggling, when we wonder what is going on in the world, remember the gospel. When our lives seem to be full of inner turmoil, when we're wrestling with sin, when we question, how could God love me? Remember the gospel. Never put your faith in yourself. Always look to Christ. Remember the gospel. It is all about Jesus. Today is not a terribly happy day. Sure, Michelle and I are leaving for happy reasons, but we are sad to leave all of you. It is difficult to say goodbye. But we leave confident that the God who has been faithful through so much, we've seen God's faithfulness time and time again, through Michelle's cancer, through so many things here at Cornerstone, just the way that God even worked to bring us to Virginia. 2 months ago, I thought I was moving to Northern Illinois. And yet God closed that door and made it crystal clear, no, not Illinois, Virginia. I want you in Virginia. God has been faithful through all of this. And so we leave in confidence knowing God will continue to be faithful to you here at Cornerstone. And we ask that you would pray the same for us, that God would be faithful to us in Virginia, that he would faithfully fulfill his promises to us and the promise to the congregation there through his word, through the gospel. And so we pray that indeed God may direct your hearts to the faithfulness of God. Direct your hearts to his love and the steadfastness of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's indeed with heavy hearts that we say goodbye. But Heavenly Father, we praise you for your faithfulness. That this is not goodbye. That we will spend eternity forever with each other praising you because of Jesus Christ. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that even as we say goodbye, that we would look to Christ, that we would recognize the painfulness of saying goodbye, but also the temporary nature of saying goodbye, and that we would look to Jesus Christ for comfort, but also in confidence, knowing that forever we will be with you as your children. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.